You. Please be seated.
Yeah, have a seat. Wow, what a powerful morning so far in the Lord.
Amen.
I could just about say a prayer and go home. Joe, do I seem a little loud? You might want to. I seem loud to me. Maybe it's just me. I'm going to share a little bit this morning. I hope it is an encouraging message. That's the way the Lord presented it to me, so I hope it is to you. And I'm going to just jump right into it. I was going to start us with a couple of basic questions just to get us thinking. But I think through the worship and through Abraham and through the prayer block we just had, I think maybe you might know the answer already. But I'm going to ask the question anyway to get you going. And then hopefully through the scripture today, my goal is to just give us encouragement at just a couple of simple things that we should all be doing in our walk in order to help answer these questions. So here's the two questions. Basically the same question, but phrased a little differently. Why were we created for this world? You don't have to answer. I know everybody wants to shout out an answer. Don't do that. Why were we created, and what is our purpose for being here? They're kind of the same question, phrased a little differently. So I want you to just be thinking of that. And I'm going to get right into the Word. Like I said, today's message, simple message in my mind, but God put it there, so hopefully I get it. But hopefully you'll get it as well. When we go into those questions, what is our purpose? How many of us, in human nature, in society, our purpose is based on career, job, wife and three kids, you know, all that kind of stuff. There's a lot of things in the world that helps define who we are, why we're here. Now, my challenge for all of us today is that all of that, all nice things, but all of it is not our purpose. That's not why we're here. We're not here to be successful. We're not here to have a good job or a shiny yellow Camaro or any of that stuff. Sorry, Brody. I'm looking right at you. I couldn't resist. Although those things are nice. But that's not really why we're here. God did not create us so I could be a successful therapist or Don could be a state trooper. That's not why we're here. So hopefully, as through the Word today, we'll find out why we're here and some ways that we can help fulfill our true purpose God's way. The slide up there is just kind of I hate to have a blank slide, so I had Peggy come up with that. She always does such a wonderful job for me. And it's nice to see you this morning. Thanks. So I'm going to be in John chapter 15 is my main text for this morning. Maybe from the slide you can guess what scripture that is. But hopefully I'm going to help us to find out what our purpose is, what God has for us to be doing, and the real picture. So I'm going to jump right into scripture. John 15, I'm going to read verse 1 through 12. Now, I'm in a New American Standard, NIV, the wording. Some of the wording might be a little different. And you'll see as I go that some of the words are a little different. But that's the version I'm using this morning. Everybody there? Here we go. Now, the heading on the top of mine in chapter 15 says, Jesus is the vine, the followers are the branches. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Now, depending on the version you're reading, vine dresser may be a different word. It may be gardener. It may be something different. It says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me. Yours may read, remain in me. And I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to me to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Long section of scripture. I'm going to break it down for you. Hopefully it makes sense when I'm done. So verse 1 and 2. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser or gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Okay, I am not a gardener. I do not have a green thumb. But I put the vines up there just as that visual. I am visual. Does anybody grow grapes? Has anybody ever tried to grow a grapevine? Patty, is it easy to grow grapes? How long does it take a grapevine to go from a grapevine to where I got that big bushel of fruit on the end? Several years. So it's a long process. What happens in that several years if you do nothing to the vine? It gets pretty ugly. Does it produce as good a fruit? No. Okay? So you see where I'm going with this. If I let a grapevine just grow on its own wild, I'll get some fruit, but I'm not going to get the good stuff. But if I cut off a lot of those smaller branches, those ones that really aren't doing much, and I prune it and train it and do all of that, that grapes at the end of that couple of year of work is going to be awesome, right? The same way with our walk. We have to go through that process in order to mature and produce that good fruit for God. In the scripture, it refers to cuts off. Now, basically, cuts off. If I'm going to prune something and cut it off, once I cut those branches off, they're not good for anything, right? They're out of the picture, right? So as I prune, God's going to prune us. He's going to take those things out of us that we don't need, and he's going to cut them off from the vine. So once God takes something off of me, away from me, that is not producing good fruit, it's cast away, separate from the vine, therefore gone from me. So once God takes something and prunes and does his work in me, that piece is gone. We need to let that go so that we can focus and produce that good fruit. So he cuts it off. When God heals us of something, takes away a sin, does some maturing in us, he's doing that, that's done. We've got to move forward from there. So cuts off is that judgment. It's done, over. Be fruitful. That's a reference for living a godly life. It's nice to have a good bushel of grapes at the end of that vine, but it's not about that. It's about being fruitful and doing something for God at the end. So he prunes us, matures us, so that we can be fruitful for him. Okay? Let's go on to verse 3 and 4. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. No branch can bear fruit by itself. Okay? I'm going to reference some other scripture here shortly to tie this in. But if I'm a branch by myself, not attached to the vine, I'm not producing fruit. That's also a reference to us as Christians. If I'm a Christian isolating myself in my own little world, I am not going to produce the good fruit as well as if I am in fellowship and in the body and together with other believers. So we have to remain together, remain in the vine. We can't bear fruit by ourselves. And neither can we bear fruit unless you remain in me. Now here's the kicker. How do I know what fruit God wants me to produce if I'm not remaining in him? Okay? How do I know what he wants me to do? How I remain in him is where I'm going with this. I have to remain with God in the vine, so to speak. I can't just make it up on my own. I can do some good work. I'm not saying I can't go out in the street and find somebody and buy them a coffee or do some good work. But how much more powerful is the work I do if I'm doing it with God? If I remain with God, I can do so much more, and I am producing so much more abundant fruit. So work is good. I can do a lot of work on my own. But if I remain in God, it's going to be plentiful and more for him. So again, we need to remain in the vine, in God. Now, remain in me and I in you. That's pretty straightforward, right? If I remain in God, God remains in me. So the question is, how do I remain in God? Okay? This is where it gets really simple. Okay? Do you think in the Bible, how many times in the Word can you think of something where Jesus repeated something more than once? When Jesus repeats something more than once, it's probably important. Right? Kind of like when your wife repeats something more than once. You better listen, right? In this 10 verses, from 1 to 10, this phrase, remain in me, appears 11 times. Do you think if he said it 11 times, it might be important? It doesn't take me that long. If Chris says something twice, I got it. Once I may, you know, but if she repeats it, you better get it. 11 times the word remain in this scripture, okay? Now, I thought I ought to give you a definition of remain and abide, because those are the two, in the two versions I used as I was putting this together, those were the two words repeated. Remain. To stay in the same place or with the same person when others have gone. Okay? So if I'm going to remain with Jesus, I have to remain with him even when others have gone. Okay? That's kind of like forever. Right? If everybody else in this room leaves, I am going to remain with Jesus, with God. Okay? The word abide means to accept or act in accordance with, obey, follow, keep to, hold with, stand by, stick with. There's a lot of those type of things. So abide, if I'm going to abide in him, I'm going to stand by him, I'm going to follow him, I'm going to obey him, I'm going to act in accordance with his will. Okay? Abide, if you look at the word abide, that gives you a little bit more of the meat of it. The word remain, I'm going to remain here with him. But abide, I'm going to obey, follow, keep to, stand by. It entails a relationship, doesn't it? I've got to stick with him. I've got to remain tight with Jesus in order to produce that good fruit. So how do we do that? How do we stay connected, close, or remain or abide in him? Reference back in the book of James, chapter 4, verse 8, says, come near to God and he will come near to you. The word come in my version is draw near to God. But however you raise it, come near to God and he will come near to you. So if I'm going to remain in God, stand by him, stick with him, I have to come near to him. Right? Now, God is always there. He's right there. But this entails an action on our part, doesn't it? Come near to God. I have to take an action. So if I'm going to abide in God or remain in God, I have to come near to him. I have to, it's an action word. It's not passive. I can't just go home and sit on my couch and say, okay, God, here I am. No, it says, come near to me, draw near to God. Okay? Joe, I'm going to use you as a reference. About what, a month ago you preached? 3 weeks, maybe? Is anybody here when Joe preached? He talked a little bit about his relationship with his wife. I'm not going to get the details right. That's not what I'm going for. But Joe told us about the first blind date that he didn't really go on. I don't know why, because Chrissy's a catch. I don't know what you were thinking, Joe. But what did Joe do? If you remember, Joe said a couple of things he did. He said, if I'm going to go and meet this girl, I'm going to find out as much about her as I can. So he went and he asked a lot of questions and probably listened to the answers. And he spent time with Chrissy. I thought also of my wife and how I met her. Now, mine's a little different. I wasn't exactly even in the same country most of the time after I met my wife. So we wrote a lot of letters. I was overseas most of our engagement, so to speak. That's a funny story. You can ask her about it. She'll tell it better than I do. But we wrote a lot of letters because we were apart. And what do we do in letters? We ask questions. How's your day? What you doing? I'm over here. This is what I'm doing. And we got to know each other via letter. You wouldn't think that would be a very good way. But I got to know a lot about my wife just by writing things down. Whereas in person, neither one of us are big talkers. I didn't know much about her at all. But after we wrote all these letters for 6 months, I knew a lot of stuff. And she must have liked what I wrote because she actually married me when I got home. But again, that's another story. But letters. Now, if you think about it, what is this? This is God, right? Now, it's not his physical being, obviously, but why did God leave this? These are God's love letters to us. This is how we get to know God, right? One of the ways. There are other ways, but this is the meat of it. He left this so that we could remain in him, so that we would be able to spend time with him and learn about him, right? Think of the Old Testament. Everybody loves history, right? But think about it. This is from beginning of creation through. This God left this, and as dry as some of the Old Testament is, it's there for a reason. So we can get to know God. He created everything. All of that Old Testament stuff. And then you've got the Gospels. Jesus walking the earth. Why did he write that? 4 versions. Because he wanted us to know Christ. This is how we remain in him. We get to know him. Just like the love letters I wrote to my wife, God wrote us so that we could get to know him and have that relationship with him so we could remain in him. And then the rest of the New Testament is just more people telling us about Jesus, telling us about God, telling us about how his walk was, what he did on the world, what we should be doing on the earth, right? God loved us so much, he wanted us to remain in him, so he wrote it down for us to help us to have that relationship. Let's continue. Verse 5 and 6. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Not a little, not one bushel, much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you go back up to verse 2, God is the vine dresser. He will prune and get rid of those non-producing vines. I personally don't want to be a non-producing vine, right? So I do my best every day to remain in him. One of the best, and this may sound funny, and I'm glad my wife is not in the room. I now work out of town during the week. One of the best things recently that happened to me. I work from 8 to 5. And then I have all evening, I'm sitting in a motel room by myself. I had two choices. I could turn on the TV and flip and see nothing. Or I thought, what a great time to be more in the Word. I eat dinner and then I sit and I'll read the Word. Not that I don't flip through the channels later on, but I get to spend more time in the Word. I found a local church. I go to a Bible study on Wednesday night. And it's good. It's a big church. It's one of them mega monster churches. Their Cafe Don is bigger than our sanctuary. But we're coming. Pretty soon we're going to turn this into the cafe and we're going to have a bigger place outside. Right? But I can choose to remain in God and go do something, or I can choose not to. We all have a choice in that. But for me, it's been great because the guys via phone said, hey, by the way, you're going to preach in a couple weeks. I said, no problem. I got all kind of time. So I was able to spend more time in the Word. And God, when I'm reading these verses, this verse came to mind. God said, Tim, you can remain in me, or you can be cut off because you just sit there and hit that remote control on that TV and watch nothing. And it struck me. It's like, okay, got it. I went out the next day and found the church and joined that Bible study because God said, go do something. And since I've done that, since I've been remaining in him a little more at work, I've seen a change. Now, I'm in a place where I'll be working for another 3 weeks, and then I'm going to move on to another place. But I can see the impact at work. Because people come to me, I don't know what they see. I don't see anything different. But they come to me and ask me things. What'd you do last night? Oh, I went to a Bible study. Really? Where'd you go? And it starts a conversation. If I had not gone to the Bible study or been in the Word more, I wouldn't have had that opportunity to share God with somebody that did not go to church. Although she may by the time I leave, because I'll be keeping talking to her, right? So God wants us to remain in Him. And we do that in part by being in the Word. And if we do not remain in Him, we are the non-producing vines. We don't want to be the non-producing vine, trust me. Because a vine that's not attached cannot bear fruit. Okay, but at the same time, if we're pruned, we're going to produce abundant good fruit. We must stay connected, though, to do that. Okay, I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians for a little while. So if you want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you can read along. Or you can just jot the reference down for when you get home later. This is just another illustration from the Word, from God's letters to us, to kind of reinforce the point of remaining in the vine. And also, I believe, remaining as a body together, we can produce better fruit. So go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to start in verse 12. I still hear flipping, so I'll give you another couple seconds to get there. Okay. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body also in Christ. For by one Spirit we were baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If a foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not part of the body, it is not for this reason any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not part of the body, it is not for this reason any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. Okay. I know some of you are probably thinking, what does that have to do with anything? But think about this. We'll go back to the grapevine. If Sapphire is a branch, and Brody's a branch, and Sarah's a branch, all these branches are on the same vine, right? They're all going together. They're all producing good fruit. If that grapevine, what's a thing of grapes called? A bunch. If Sapphire produces her bunch and Brody produces her bunch, good fruit, right? Good fruit. Sarah's got some good fruit. How much wine can you make with three little bunches of grapes? Not much. But if we all produce good fruit, we can have a huge impact. Or a big barrel of wine, whichever, right? So if we're all producing good fruit and we're all remaining in God and we're all life tree, we can produce some awesome fruit for the kingdom, can't we? Together. And we're doing that. This is the encouragement. We are doing that as a body. We are together. We are producing fruit. We are doing things. And it's because we're remaining together in Christ. We're doing it together. And I think that's phenomenal. But that's why I brought it together. Each part of this scripture in 1 Corinthians, if Don's an eye, so what? Without a head to attach it to and the rest of it, he can't do anything. But together we can do a lot. But we have to remain in Christ so that he can remain in us, so that he can tell us what he wants us to do. So the encouragement is we are doing it as a body. As we learn to remain in him more and grow stronger and God continues to prune, more fruit, more evidence of that will come. Be patient. We do not always see immediate results. We do not always. It's not like I one day woke up and I went from God planted the seed to I'm producing this good fruit. It's a process. So don't be discouraged. If you're sitting out there saying, I haven't produced any good fruit ever, it'll come. If you're sitting out there and say, I produced some great fruit, I'm good, wrong. God's not done with you until you're with him in the kingdom. We should all be striving to produce good fruit. If you're not there, you don't think you're producing good fruit, you're producing something because you're here. God's pleased that you are producing and trying and striving to get better. So don't get discouraged. Just like the grapevine. What did you say, Patty? Years for that grapevine to produce that beautiful fruit. God's working in us, and he's going to produce that fruit. We just have to do our part and remain in him and be in the Word and do all those things. And when you do see that fruit and begin to see that change, thank God for it. Because it's not you doing it. Don't go out and say, oh, look what I did. It's not about us. It's about God working through us. When I talked to that coworker at work last week about going to the Bible study at the mega church in town, which she, by the way, had heard of and drives by every day. And I told her what nice people they were and what a nice coffee shop we met in. That did not, a couple years ago, I wouldn't have done that. But God is producing fruit. He's working in me. As I remain in Him, He will do His thing. So I remain in Him. One of the ways, obviously, I've said it, you got to be in the Word. Okay? Read God's Word to us because that helps us to know Him, and it also helps us to be more receptive to what He has for us, His Spirit. God will speak to us in many ways, but one of the ways is through the Word. So we need to be in the Word. The second way is we need to be in prayer. If we go back to Scripture, go back to John again. I'm done in Corinthians. You can flip that page. We'll go back to John chapter 15, verse 7 and 8. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Remain in me is Scripture. Ask whatever. Be in prayer. Now that is not, don't jump off and say, oh, God's the magic genie. Anything I ask in prayer is going to give me. That's not how it works. Okay? But the Word does say, if you remain in me and I in you, ask and it will be given. If I'm not remaining in Him and Him in me, one, I'm going to be asking for things with the wrong motives and the wrong reasons. God's not going to answer all that junk. But if I am remaining in Him and have that strong connection, then if I ask things, one, I'm going to be asking things that are appropriate and God-honoring, and God then will honor those things. He wants us to have those things. But we have to be asking with the right motives, the right reasons. And the only way we're going to get to that point in our prayer life is by remaining in Him. John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, He being Jesus. So we need to be in tune and in the Scripture and in prayer so that we know what to ask for and what to be doing and all of those things. And then John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. So it's kind of comes full circle. So if we want to know what God is like, we need to be in the Word. We can also then look to see what Jesus was like because all the same. Jesus was our example that walked the earth for us. So in order to know what Jesus is like, we need to know what God is like. We need to be in the Word. We need to be in prayer. Remember, the Word is God's letters to us. The more immersed we are in the Word and prayer, the more we're going to learn, the closer our relationship with God. Okay? So I told you it was simple. I don't know why we struggle with this as humans. We have 24 hours in a day. If you were to add them up, how much time do we actually spend doing what is important? I'm not going to embarrass myself by giving you an answer. Very little, right? We have all this time, and yet we begrudgingly sometimes give God 5 minutes in the morning, maybe a bedtime prayer that we fall asleep to. That's not how I want to live my life. I want to, my goal in life should be to remain with Him so that I can bear fruit and bring glory to God. All the other stuff is fine and good, and you know, we painted at the house, that was great. It's great fellowship. We're doing stuff for the kingdom so we can sell it and then build the coffee shop. No. Right? All that stuff is good. But it's not the most important thing. The most important thing is the relationship with our Father. But as you go, as you learn to abide in Him, as you learn to pray, as you learn to cry out and ask Him things from the heart, you'll see the results. All that effort will pay off. You will produce good fruit. You will begin to affect those around you. So be patient. It will come if you do your part. All right, let's get back to Scripture. John 15, verse 8 and 9. Here's the answer to the question I asked you way before in the beginning. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Our purpose is to bring glory to the Father by producing good fruit for the kingdom. That's a simple version, but why complicate it? Everything we do should be to bring glory to God and to bring people to a knowledge of Him. All of that stuff comes together to bring glory to God. Okay, verse 10 through 12. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Jesus loved his Father and obeyed his Father. We need to love and obey the same way. And then we need to love each other. We need to love the unlovable. That's what it's about. Bring glory to the Father by producing fruit like Abram. You're going to go and have a street ministry. You're not going to go find a mega church and go to church. You're going to minister to the lost. And that brings glory to God. But you're going to minister more effectively if you're immersed in His Word and in prayer, aren't you? You can't go there on your own and do that. Right? But through God's power. So my challenge to you is be in the Word, be in prayer constantly. That's how you bring great effect. And be patient. Just like Don, he's been going out to South Dakota for how many years? Just now starting to see that good fruit being produced, right? The first couple years I know were rough. But as you do your time, that's a great illustration to tie this together. That brings glory to God. Not necessarily the end result or what you're doing, but you're in the Word, you're in prayer, you're trying to produce that fruit. That brings glory to God. That's what it's about. So thank you for being here today and giving me that great example, that illustration. The evidence. You will see change. There's a little postcard in your bulletin. I didn't really get to these scriptures per se, but if you go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, something called the fruits of the Spirit. I had, and Peggy, again, awesome job. I had asked Peggy to do this, and then God kind of changed the sermon just a little bit, so I didn't spend as much time here as I was initially going to. But if you read the fruits of the Spirit, these on this card are paraphrases that God gave me as I was doing this. These are some of the evidences that you're remaining in God and producing good fruit. Because as we are in Him and immersed in Him, we begin to change. Our hearts change, our minds change, and then some of that fruit is produced through us, through how we act. So I had Peggy print this up just as a, you know, stick it on your fridge if you want, if you're one of them refrigerator magnet persons, or stick it in your Bible. Love. Loving people without expecting anything back. Joy, delight, just being in a good mood because God is good. When God gave me that one, because I was in a bad mood that day, God said, just stop it. Just be in a good mood because I am good. Simple. Why do we complicate life? Peace. Just health and wholeness, personal well-being. All right, I have a peace. When I'm in the Word and doing what I should be doing, I have a peace. When I'm not in the Word, oh, man. Then there goes that joy, too. Patience. Prolonged restraint from anger or frustration. I could give you countless illustrations of that one. We won't go into there because we all have those moments. But as you begin to produce fruit and you're remaining in God, you won't find those things quite as irritating. You'll be able to take those things a little grain of salt. It won't be a big deal. Kindness, friendly, regardless of how others treat you. Goodness, just be generous and kind to others. Just be nice. It's easy. Faithfulness, just trust God. Gentleness, humility, meekness, consideration for others, and self-control. Discipline, controlling your actions or behavior. All of these things will become more evident as you remain in Him and start producing more fruit. But just like the vine, just like the illustration, you cannot do it alone. You need to be in the Word and be in prayer. And that's to me, that was just a great illustration. They're both go together, prayer and the Word. I need to be doing both continually. That's our purpose. So why were we created? What is our purpose? Simply to bring glory to God by producing good fruit. We all do it in a different way, but we do it better together. We do it better when we're part of the vine. We cannot do it on our own. We cannot do it without being with God, abiding in Him. So be in the Word, be connected, stay connected, all that. So as I close, the team can come back up and we'll wrap up. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. I love this verse I found. It says, "The sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word." Think about that for a minute as the worship team starts to make its way up. The sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by the power of His word. Now, we had a little bit of an altar call earlier, and that was a phenomenal time that the Holy Spirit just said, we need to do this, and we try to do what the Holy Spirit tells us, right? But if you need more prayer, if you're not remaining in God and doing those things, and you need somebody to pray with you, to lift you up, to build you up, come back to the altars. We'll be glad to pray with you. If you're sitting there saying, I haven't produced any good fruit in a while, and you want somebody to pray with you and encourage you, come up. Because there are times in our lives where we think, I'm not really doing much for God right now. But that doesn't have to stay that way. Give that to God and let Him take that off your hands and then prune you and then start producing that fruit. If you're sitting here and you don't know Jesus and you're thinking this guy sounds pretty awesome and you want to get to know Him, come on up. We can pray with you about that too. We'd love to help you to learn about God and what that means in your life and that effect He can have in your life. So whatever your needs are this morning, come forward.